Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde. Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Many hellos to everyone on this fabulous Monday.
Many top of the morning to ya.
Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day this week, isn't it?
Is it?
It is, because it's the 17th, oh my God. Right?
Dude, yeah. That was pure happenstance that I said it like that. Oh my God.
That was St. Patrick himself took over your body and was like, give a little shout out. Give a little shout out.
He did. Shout out to our Irish listeners. Happy What's St. Patty's Day. I hope you all drink beer in your house.
I am. I could give my DNA results right now, but I don't remember. I am like exactly 2% Irish, and my family loves to pretend that 2% is a very large part of our genetic makeup. Because
I love that.
We straight up are like the sons of the sons of the sons of the sons, my mom's side. Mm-hmm. And so the Irish last name Murphy got passed down all the way to my mom, even though she's barely Irish, just because she happens to be like directly from all of the male heirs who got the last name. Yeah, let's get my DNA results. Hold up.
Ooh, share that. 'Cause people are just cruel.
Or you've been dreaming.
I performed that song at a drama competition. But I remember after I sang it, this was like, God, it must have been like 2013, 2014. Like, I remember no one knew what this show was other than me, and I felt cool about it. But I sang the song, and everyone came up to me afterwards, and they were like, I love Maroon. And I was like, that is not the point of the song. Like, I know no one likes Maroon. Like, they were like, I love Maroon. It's like, jeez, I love that that's
seriously
what you got from that.
This song that is literally this girl being like, I'm ugly. Like, I'm such an idiot to think that anyone would ever find me attractive. I'm so stupid. And they're like, personally, I took offense to that song because I like the color maroon.
They're like, I love Maroon. I'm like, of course you do. It's 2014. It's 2013. Everyone loves Maroon.
Like, you really were not paying attention. All right, I got the results. I got the results in front of me.
Oh, baby, let's go!
So, as I said, on my mom's side of the family, they are all Murphys. My grandpa really bought into the fact that they were Murphys. He would go, like, so hard on St. Patrick's Day and like making Irish foods and like doing like crazy stuff that the leprechauns were doing. Like he loved to think that he was Irish. And my dad is really into family history because didn't you hear we're LDS? And so of course my dad's really into family history.
Hell yeah.
And straight up when he started doing family history on my mom's side of the family, my mom was like, you, if you find out that we are not Irish, you cannot tell my dad. It will break his heart. Like, you need to keep that under wraps. Anyways, so I got my DNA test, however, like a year and a half ago. And I am, in fact, 3% Irish. So 1% more than I thought.
1% more.
However, sorry, Ireland, this is shocking because I didn't know I had any Scottish blood. I am a full fourth Scottish. So
I love that. A fourth? Well, makes sense. I've watched you play a Scot a million times.
That's true. Weirdly, besides an American, I have played a Scottish person more than any other like accent. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my family sure loves to claim our 3% Irish heritage and completely ignore our 1/4 Scottish heritage.
What's the rest? Share it.
All right, here we go. It literally is like, and here's all of the Caucasian nations.
Yes, makes sense.
Half English. Who shocked?
Mm.
I am 9% Welsh. What? Who surprised? I am 7% Norwegian. Can someone like get my social security number by knowing the percentages of my genetic makeup? I hope not.
I think that's how social security cards work, is they take just all the percentages. It's like 15, 20.
That's what your social security number is all the different percentages in a line. I am 3% Swedish. I thought I was more Swedish than that. Oh, well.
Mm.
I'm 1% Nigerian?
Well, you know why that is.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't think too hard about why someone who is very white and has had ancestors live in America since the beginning of the country would have a drop of Nigerian in their system, because it'll make you super bummed out. That's the only non-whiteness I have. Then I'm 1% Finnish and I'm 1% French. So just truly, Western Europe got thrown in a blender and they were like, Scandinavia, Western Europe, here we go. It's a person.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Then you got your social security number.
Yes. And then I was like, oh, thank goodness there's my social security number. I just have to look at my DNA. So hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I am 3% Irish. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And I'm a mini Gleek.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Lita Knatzer, and off the top of my head, I have no idea who I am, but I am a Gleek. I'm sure my grandma could tell me. I think I'm mostly German, which that's surprising to no one. My last name is Knatzer.
Yeah, I also thought that I was very German, but I didn't list any German in that rundown at all.
Oh.
So I guess I'm not German. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Well, let's get into this mini-sode, shall we?
Heck yeah!
Heck yeah! A couple of items of business. Thank you all for sending in your thoughts and, you know, your all of that kind of stuff. We really appreciate it. We listen to them all. We read them all. They're, you know, we hold them close to our hearts. Obviously, they all can't fit into the mini-sode, and for that, I'm really sorry, but don't think that they go like unnoticed because we totally love getting them. But yeah, here's just a select few of the feedback we got this week. Let's start with Rachel, our boss. Rachel, here's a voicemail from Rachel.
Hi, babies. This is Rachel, she, her. I just finished listening to the end of your substitute episode, and I just returned from projectile vomiting for the past 10 minutes at the end of the episode and the baby shenanigan fiasco. I'm going to assume responsibility as your boss and say that you are both fired. The episode was great. I'm glad that your sound is working again. You guys also mentioned the thespian festival in Nebraska, and I think I was around the same time in high school as you were, Ian. So what was your favorite show that you saw when you went there? This is such a niche question, but that's y'all's bag. You both are fantastic. Thank you so much for the podcast. You are fired from the baby thing, but yeah, you guys are both wonderful, and I hope you have a great day. Mwah!
Baby Shenanigan Fiasco is my new band name, so thank you, Rachel.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Rachel, for letting us keep our jobs.
Yes, Baby is very grateful for that. Also, I know we have such a large portion of our listenership who went to National Thespian Conference in specifically 2012 and 2013, and they just want to hear about it. I know that's probably 80% of our listeners. People ask us every day, so fine, I'll tell you.
twist my arm. So,
I know all I've said about a thespian conference was stuff that I thought was just okay when I was there. The grand majority of the shows were very good, and I really enjoyed. Rachel, what was my favorite? If you were there in 2012, the best thing I ever saw at National Thespian Conference was an All-State production of Aida, which I didn't know that All-State Theater was a thing, because it that sure is not a thing in amazing. Arizona. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I think it was some state in the South. I think it was like Alabama or Georgia, but don't quote me on that. But they did Aida. It was phenomenal. The girl who played Aida was like mind-blowing. She works in Disney World now. Fun fact, we met and became cool. friends on Facebook and then never spoke again.
Yeah.
And so just every time like she has a life event happen, it'll pop up on my Facebook feed and I'm like, oh, good for her. She now...
I love friends like that.
Yeah, she now performs at Disney World in one of the parades. She's a singer, so go in places. Oh, cool.
Good for her. But yeah, that's so awesome.
It was so good. Oh my gosh. And like the choreography was insane and like the vocals were excellent and I loved it. So Aida is my answer to that question.
I love that show. I want to be in that show very badly.
Heck yeah.
Rodimaze. Just kidding.
You would for real though be such a good Amneris.
Thank you.
Oh my word.
I was hoping you would say Aida. Just kidding, you guys. I would never even accept that part. I want to play Amneris so bad. It's painful. Not. No way. Anyway.
All right.
Rachel, thank you for not firing us. You're a good boss. up next we have an email from James.
Hi, Lena and Ian. I'm James, and I use he/him pronouns. Also, I'm Scottish. What's up, James? Are we cousins?
Me too.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Also, I'm Scottish, so I'm expecting the international listener jingle.
International listener.
Anyways, someone in the last episode said that they don't like Blaine, and I would like to respectfully disagree and come up with a sort of counterargument. I think the reason Blaine comes across as a gay man for straight people is because he maybe tried to hide his femininity. There is a lot of evidence that Blaine experienced a lot of homophobia in his old schools and even from his parents. When Blaine is with Kurt, and even sometimes Sam, which, by the way, ship Blam, you can see that Blaine is very comfortable with his femininity. I think personally that Blaine would try to hide his femininity because he has been through so much because of his sexuality. For example, the gay bashing at prom, his parents being homophobic and never really being around. The parents part is all speculation, by the way, but there's a lot of evidence for it. Yeah, and the genuine hard time you have accepting yourself. This is all my personal opinion, by the way, and we respect opinions in this household, so you're perfectly entitled to not like Blaine. I just wanted to share this because why not? Anyways, I don't know how to end emails, so thank you for the podcast. It's hilarious. And bye, guys. P.S. My mom isn't very fond of you guys, because once she woke up at 3 a.m. to Ian screaming the Alanis Morissette song I can't remember the name of, it is called,
You Oughta Know.
It's called You Oughta Know, a classic.
Sorry, James's mom. yeah, we definitely respect each other's opinions in this household. And I like that. And I think there is totally a lot of evidence for Blaine's parents being pretty absent. Yeah.
I have to
say. So thank you for sharing that.
The Glee writers so frequently do not flesh out the like backstories of the characters or their home lives and don't like ever really explore it. Which A is like kind of lazy writing. But the upside is that you can then make your own headcanons that explain things better than the writers ever would be able to. So that is a plus side of these writers not keeping a show Bible. is that mm-hmm. you can then be like, well, I'm picking up on these hints, and so I'm going to interpret the character this way, which is very fun.
Yeah. But thank you for sharing that perspective, James. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Maddie.
Hello. Okay, so my name is Maddie. I'm from Canada. I hope I got that international listener.
International listener!
So, I'm a little drunk right now. Full confidence. But anyways, my question for you guys is, if you had to give Quinn a proper storyline in season 2, because we both know that she never had one, what would you give her and why? Anyways, guys, I love you so much. You guys are literally my favorite podcast. Anyways, Ian, your laugh, every time I hear it, I'm like, oh my fucking God, I've learned the lessons of life. I love you. Anyways, love you guys. Bye-bye. Aww. Love you. Love the podcast. Yay.
That's so sweet, Maddie.
Thank you, Maddie. I'm glad I could help you reach enlightenment. Very kind.
That is way sweet.
All right, Lena, you got thoughts?
I think so. Do you have thoughts?
I have some thoughts. They're half-baked thoughts.
Yeah, mine are half-baked thoughts, too. I mean, we totally could storyboard something, but just off the top of my head, this woman has been through so much, like has been kicked out of her home. Her mom, like, has just divorced her dad. She's living with just her mom. Like, the, you know, she just had a kid less than a year ago. Like, that is very interesting. And, like, to learn about, like, kind of how Quinn would be feeling about that, I think would be really interesting. I also think that Quinn is really smart. And I want to know more about, like, Quinn and her, like, academics. And I want to, like, see maybe, like, Quinn, I don't know, like, going to some, like, academic decathlon or something and, like, sweeping the nation. Like, just, like, being super awesome. She's also the head cheerleader. Like, what does that entail? I have no idea. So something about that would be really cool. I don't even think she would have to have, like, maybe a huge storyline, but just like she's a very interesting character. I want to know more about her life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think?
I'd go full Quinn Sadies. I would do.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Like, Quinn has been her whole life kind of like shaped into what others thought she should be. Mm-hmm. Like, she came from a very patriarchal household where her dad was very domineering. They were very religious and, like, borderline oppressive religious. Like,
yeah.
She has been very shoved into boxes her whole life. And something I do like about Quinn's character is that she goes through all of this, but, like, she still continues to, like, have a belief in God, like, in later mm-hmm. seasons, despite everything she went through. And I think it would be fun and very interesting in season 2 to really explore that she moved in with the Joneses. She lived with Mercedes, and she, for the first time, experienced a lifestyle and a family where God was not used as an oppressor.
Yeah.
Where, like,
oh, for sure.
For the Joneses, like, they used their belief in God as, like, empowerment, and they didn't really, like, Mercedes doesn't, I mean, she cares what other people think of her because she's a teenager. And I'm sorry, if you're a teenager, some part of you cares that other people think of you. But she's not trying so hard to fit into these boxes. Like, Mercedes doesn't really care about the boxes that people are trying to shove her in. And so, like, for Quinn in her relationship with Mercedes to learn to take these beliefs that she has and flip them on their heads so that they become empowering instead of oppressive. And then... Yeah. In turn, for Mercedes to learn from Quinn, like, the ability to be self-confident and demand things that you want and deserve in life. And just to have Absolutely. That relationship of, like, Quinn learning to be her own person and not, like, subjugate herself to other people's standards and opinions. And for Mercedes to learn to ask for things and, like, stand up for herself. I just think Quinn Sadies was, like, such...
That's so nice.
Like, had so many possibilities in it, and they just were like, she's on the Cheerios again, and she's got another boyfriend. Let's totally. Do that.
Totally. You're so... That's why you're the writer of the pair of us. That was very good. Makes me emo. You're welcome. Well, Maddie, thank you for your question. Up next, we have an email from Melissa.
All right. Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Melissa, and I'm 23 years old, and unfortunately, I'm a hardcore Gleek. I grew up obsessing over this school, and rewatching as I've gotten older opened my eyes to the absolute amazing and horrible train wreck of this show. I have been listening to your podcast from the very beginning and have always cried laughing at some point during the episode. Beyond my millions of praises for you guys, I absolutely, without a doubt, hated the baby talk of this episode. However, though I found it cringy to listen to you guys use it, I actually found it hilarious because it's the dumb shit that I would do. Why, thank you, Melissa. I will interpret that paragraph as a compliment.
That's a W. Thank you, Melissa.
Season 2 of Glee was one that I remember as my favorite season, mostly due to Kurt, as he is my favorite character. Now rewatching it, I realize that Season 2 is very hit or miss, and since they were very high in popularity, I doubt the writers actually noticed their flaws and mistakes. I have made a habit to rewatch the Glee episode before you guys talk about it, as I usually skip around and rewatch my favorites. I kind of forgot how this episode goes, because I almost threw up at Will's unnecessary fetish reveal. The more I watch the show again, the more I wish Will wasn't in it. You and me both, Melissa. I wasn't originally a Will hater because I wasn't noticing him, but he honestly sucks. The only thing about Holly Holiday that I notice is she mentioned, quote, "It's a terrible economy and good teaching jobs are hard enough to get, let alone in the arts," unquote. What the hell is she talking about? Will did not get paid for that job. It was brought up that it was costing him money at one point.
Yeah.
She's becoming the Spanish teacher, and Sue could still kill that club if she wanted to. I got annoyed with Holly and Will's plots, so I spent more time focusing on the other characters in the background, like Kurt when he slips on the buttered floor, or his dancing in Forget You. However, there are little things that I've never noticed in the background that now I have questions about. Are the members of the band always there, and how many are there? Like, why do we have one band member who plays the tambourine if Holly Holiday is also going to play one? Mercedes wears at least two different necklaces with her name on it, and I love that. Actually, three, but one of them is just an M. Baby Kurt is fully chewing on the chain that is connected to his shirt.
Cutie!
Sorry this is so long, but I love listening to you guys, and I never stop laughing. I hope you continue all the way until season 6, when they have fully destroyed every character I loved. Best, Melissa. That is true, Melissa. It is very clearly established that in order to run the Glee Club, Will is paying, like, $50 out of pocket a month or something. They talk about that in season 1, and then never was it mentioned that they were like, oh, and now you're getting paid. So it is weird that the whole battle is over the Glee Club, and it's like neither Holly or Will is getting paid a cent. And frankly, if Will got sick, she would substitute his Spanish class. They would just cancel the club. But I guess it is covered where, like, Kurt has to go out and sectionals. Ask her. Yeah, and Kurt, like, has to go and, like, track her down and ask her if she'll do it. So that does make sense.
Well, heck.
No one's getting paid.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for your email.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Allison.
Hey, Lena and Ian, this is Allie, she, her. I just want to start off by saying thank you so much for your podcast. It makes my Mondays and Wednesdays the best days of the week. It is truly amazing. I love how you guys are able to condense a 40-minute episode into a 2-hour recap while talking about both nothing and everything at the same time. It is beautiful. I love it. Last week you guys talked about famous people who went to your high school, and I don't really know anyone famous that went to my high school, but Chris Colfer did grow up in the same town as me, which at first was pretty shocking. Until I listened to his interviews where he talked a lot about how he grew up in a very conservative environment surrounded by people who were not very accepting of the fact that he was gay, which is not at all shocking now that I connect the dots. It is a very conservative, reserved little town, But you know what? He made it out, and he's pretty famous now, in case you didn't know. He's doing well.
Oh. Who's Chris Colfer?
I don't. Man,
growing up in conservative towns, I know what that's like, you guys. It sucks. You can make it out. You'll be okay. I promise. I moved from a conservative town to a way more conservative town, so I guess I really don't know anything about that, though. That's so
very accurate. You did, in fact.
Yeah.
I have a question for people that who grew up in the same town as celebrities. Is this just me? So I had like Emma Stone, and then like speaking of Glee, like Heather Morris, like there are a handful of people who are famous who like grew up either in the same city as me or like the neighboring city. And I frequently wonder if I ever passed them on the street and didn't know because it was before they're famous. Do other people who have celebrities from their towns think that same thing, or am I just weird? Let me know. All right. Well, Allison, maybe you walked on the same street as Chris Colfer before he was on Glee and you never realized it. Just something to think on. Thank you for your message.
Thank you for your message. Up next, we have a voicemail from Lucas.
Hey, baby and baby. My name's Lucas, he and pronouns. In your podcast, you guys were talking about how no matter what, high school production isn't that good. Well, I'm in my junior year of high school right now, and we're doing a show. And before I say anything, don't get me wrong, I'm really grateful that we're at least doing a show and that COVID 100% affected the show our directors chose. But anyway, this year we're doing a show called Dear Edwina Jr., a show about a 13-year-old. And yes, this is a high school production. But yeah, I just wanted to know what your thoughts on like what that sounds like to you. And anyway, here's a question. If you guys had to cast the Glee characters in the show Be More Chill, who would you guys cast? And who do you think Ryan Murphy would cast? All right, love your podcast. Bye.
So I know nothing about Dear Edwina Jr. I actually looked it up.
That's shading.
Well, simply because I wanted to see if it was a children's show, as in like Annie, where it's kids, or if it was an adults as children show. And it is, in fact, the latter, as the original cast had like Andrea Burns and Carrie Butler in it.
Oh, cool.
I still don't know a lot about it, but I will say, as I mentioned, when I very bravely told everyone that their high school shows were bad, sorry if that really hurt anyone's feelings. But as I mentioned,
we did high school theater too.
Yeah, we're calling out ourselves. High school theater is for the people in the show.
Yeah,
and I have had this conversation with other actors. Never in my life does it matter like how good the show was. Never have I felt the way that I did performing a high school show. There is something about like it being everyone's like first time performing and how scared and excited you are. And also the fact that because it is high school theater, you have a feeling that the show could fall apart at any second. Mm-hmm. And there is like this rush of adrenaline and excitement. It is so magical. And in all of my professional jobs, I have never been able to recapture that feeling.
No.
High school theater is so exciting and so fun.
Literally.
And Lucas, I don't know anything about Dear Edwina Jr. Maybe it's a very good show. Maybe it's very bad. I don't know. But I will say that some of my fondest memories of high school shows were the shows that were objectively terrible. Like, the script itself was bad, and we knew the script was bad, and so we just had a good time with it. That was some of the most fun I ever had.
I don't know that I did any shows that I thought were just, like, objectively bad shows, and maybe that's just, like, my taste. I remember we did Tartuffe my senior year, and I wasn't super jazzed about that one. Do you know Tartuffe very well?
No, I do not at all.
Oh, my gosh, it's so weird. It's like a French play. It's Molière, you know. But I got to play the hot stepmom.
Hey-o.
I feel like that's my vibe. It's like hot stepmom.
I agree.
Thank you.
We did a show when I was in high school that I actively told my parents not to come to because I was like, it's bad. I don't want you to see it. And then being supportive parents, they still came. And I, no joke, was like a little pissed about it.
Really?
So I was like, this is embarrassing. But that show, the rehearsal process was some of the most fun I ever had. But performing it was very embarrassing because unlike other shows in high school where I thought they were good at the time, that was one that at the time I was like, this is not good. It is a bad show. I'm sorry. You guys have to see it.
I feel like high school theater is a lot like the hit TV show. I don't know. You heard of it. If you've heard of it, Glee, in the sense of you're so right. There's like this sense of danger the entire time. Like, you really never know what you're going to get. And like being an audience member is like, you see some really special moments, like in a high school theater production, and like some people who like, you know, like you can tell how hard they work and it's so fun and so exciting, but like truly you're on edge the whole time and it feels like you're on drugs. Like you just like, what's going to happen next? You don't know. Just like Glee, you know?
Yeah.
High school theater. I remember I used to like cry after every performance. Like we would have like four performances and I'd cry after every performance because I was like, it's almost over.
Every time a show would end, I would be like, I could like KO King Kong with one punch right now. I was like, I have never felt more powerful. And now when a show ends,
King Kong.
Now when I get out of a show, I'm like, I'm like gonna go home and take a nap. Like I feel like it's just another day.
Totally. Well, that was my job.
Yeah. A magical time.
I'm searching for that feeling.
Amen. I've been chasing the high of high school theater for the last 7 years.
I know. Let me know if you ever find it. Don't do drugs.
Lucas, on to the Be More Chill of it all. Okay.
I don't know anything about Be More Chill, so this is Ian's bag.
What's
not
up?
Mine. I only know Michael, who's a loner, so he must be a stoner. I know that song.
Also, ironic because the reason I ever got into Be More Chill was because Lena and her roommate texted me and said, you should sing Michael in the Bathroom from Be More Chill, and then I looked up the show. So you're the one who opened the gate and then you never bothered to learn anything else.
I remember that. I know.
All right. So Be More Chill. Up first, we got Jeremy. Jeremy, everyone. He's a nerd.
Jeremy Baramy.
That's not his name. That is the passage of time. Jeremy is like a nerd, but he really wants to be cool. He really wants to be popular. And he is played by, it's finally his time to shine. I have felt bad because he's constantly been like bit characters in our shows. Artie Abrams is finally getting the lead. So congrats to Artie. You're playing Jeremy. Up next, we got the Squip. Okay, Be More Chill is so weird if you are unfamiliar with it. So buckle up. So Jeremy literally takes a pill that he buys on like the black market online that when you take it, it implants.
How do people get to the black market?
I don't know.
Don't answer that.
I've never been on the dark web, and I don't want to go on
the
dark web.
Honestly, don't tell me how to get on the dark web.
He takes a pill that, like, implants a chip in his brain that talks to him and tells him how to be cool. Okay, so in the Broadway version and in the book that it's based on, the Squip, which is the robot, sounds like Keanu Reeves. We're not doing the Broadway version.
Cool.
I'm sorry. We're doing the off-Broadway version because it's superior. Be More Chill is a show. I love it. It should never have been on Broadway. Also, there wasn't an off-Broadway version. It was in New Jersey. We're doing the New Jersey version, everyone. Mm. They're just, you know, some shows, they are excellent for what they are. But what they are is not something that needs to be on Broadway. And
sure.
Hot take, Be More Chill is one of those shows. So anyways, not Keanu Reeves. The Squip is played gender bent by Mercedes Jones.
Hell yes!
Next up, we got Michael. Michael is Jeremy's best friend. He is also a loser, although he is more contented as a loser. And he sings Michael in the Bathroom, which is all about having an anxiety attack in the bathroom at a party. Couldn't be me. I've never experienced that before. That's so weird. Michael. Michael is being played by Kurt. This was a hard one for me because Michael is supposed to be like super chill. and Kurt isn't at all. But then I just kept thinking about how Chris Colfer would do a really good job on Michael in the bathroom, and so then I gave it to him. So there you go, Kurt.
Which I was never born. Now, just Michael, who you don't know.
Beautiful. Incredible.
Yeah, I love that song. It's very fun.
Up next, we got Christine. Christine is the girl that Jeremy likes, and Christine is like, she's a like the prototypical theater kid. Like, her mind's all over the place, and she's like very dramatic and like very peppy and happy. And she is, of course, played by the one, the only Miss Tina Cohen Chang.
Obviously.
And then we got Chloe and Brooke. Chloe and Brooke are best friends, and they are the very popular girls at school who the Squip tells Jeremy to date. So Brooke, the one, Brooke is the beta, and Chloe is the alpha. That's literally how the Squip refers to them. So the alpha, which is Chloe, is Santana, and she, and the beta, which is Brooke, is Brittany, because Brooke is like kind of stupid, and Jeremy starts dating Brooke, and then Chloe gets jealous and tries to seduce Jeremy, a very Santana move.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we have Jenna. Jenna is the school gossip. She is a loudmouth. She also has some beautiful belt solos, and she is played by Rachel Berry. Now we got Rich. Here's where it got tricky. So the character of Rich is a popular guy who used to be a huge nerd, and he used a Squip, and he's the one who's like, Jeremy, you should use a Squip. And he has a lovely song called the Squip Song. It's very fun. But he is, in the script, canonically supposed to be short. Like, there are lines about how he is short. So I cast Sam Evans in the role, but Cordova Street is 6 foot tall. So, if we're going for short, I was like, maybe Blaine, although Darren Criss isn't, like, that short, but he is below average. But I just think Sam would do a better job as this character, so maybe he's not short in this version. And then we got Jake. Jake is the popular guy at school. Frankly, he doesn't have a lot of character depth. He's a popular guy. He's a partier. He's Jake.
Me too.
He's played by Mike Chang. And finally,
I love you, Mike.
We have the adult man. The adult man plays their theater teacher. He plays Jeremy's dad. And I think he plays a third character at some point. And he's played by the one, the only, Finn Hudson. That is the new directions in Be More Chill, everyone.
I love that.
Thank you.
Who do you think is the alpha and the beta of you and me? Don't answer that question. I don't want to know. Thank you, Lucas, for that question. Up next, we have an email from Abby.
Hey, Lena and Ian. My name is Abby, she, her, and I have a lot of thoughts on this episode. First is Lauren Zeisies. Rewatching during COVID times, I'm so disgusted by this as well. But the problem I have with this is, why is she at school? Her parents should have kept her home, or the school sent her home. But also, if she got Figgins and Will both sick, they all have the same illness. How are they, like, in their deathbeds at home, and she's still able to walk around the halls looking like she just has a moderate cold? Make it make sense, Ryan Murphy. Ugh, I hate how Will's sick/rainy day movie is Singing in the Rain, because for a few years when the show was buried deep in my subconscious, I saw that movie and fell in love with it, and it became my sick rainy day movie. Having something in common with William Schuster is absolutely nauseating and feels like a personal attack. Okay, so here's where we disagree. I absolutely love Holly Holiday. I think she was so fun and a breath of fresh air after watching Will Schuster traumatize these kids for 20-something episodes. Maybe I just love Gwyneth Paltrow, or maybe it was the spectacular butterfly slide. I don't know. Yes, I agree that a lot of things she said, like the medical-grade marijuana line, were pretty cringe. But I'd always thought with her that teenagers are going to laugh at someone. So as a substitute, she was saying, hey, laugh at me instead of each other since I won't even be here next week. I will admit, I did not like when she told Rachel she sucks. Was she wrong? Absolutely not. But was there a gentler way she could have said it? Absolutely yes. It was a lesson Rachel really needed to learn to loosen up and have fun, and I hate that she learned it for 5 minutes and then, like every other lesson learned in this show, is forgotten by the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if Holly had replaced Will, that's something they could have worked on over time, but I guess we'll never know. I hated how towards the end of the episode, they made Holly all irresponsible and flaky. Like, at the drop of a hat, she turned from cool and collected to a hot mess. Also, like, no person would allow someone to go shove tots up someone's tailpipe. I guess they realized somewhere in writing this episode that if they had a teacher that was fun and everyone loved, then people would be upset when Will came back next week and had to witness his war crimes again. Okay, final thought. It just bothers me when Will comes back and he hands out the sheet music for Singing in the Rain and everyone is visibly upset that instead of saying, hey, maybe this isn't the right song for this week, he has to almost trick them into doing it by mashing it up with Umbrella. Will, just take the L. This isn't about you. Hope you have a great day. Abby.
Did you know that I was named after a character in Singing in the Rain?
Oh, I did not know that.
That's a lie. I thought I've told you that lie before. I like to tell people I'm named after Lena Lamont because she's so GD annoying that, like, who would name a child after Lena Lamont?
Is she the, and I can't stand him? Uh-huh, is that Lena Lamont?
Yeah. Which, like, is that my vibe or what, you guys? It totally is. I want to play that part really bad.
Abby, don't worry. Singing in the Rain is an objectively good movie. Who cares it's if incredible. Will also likes it?
Yeah. I've got a lot in common with Will. I'm just kidding. I don't. I'm just trying to rack my brain. I literally don't. I don't even have one thing.
You both have legs. You both have arms. You can both see.
Damn it.
Oh, no.
I tried to seduce the cheerleading coach one time.
That's true.
That is true.
Also on the Lauren Zices train, I personally am not shocked at all that Lauren Zices is at
school. Me neither.
And that the school did not send her home. My school
I've
district.
I've gone to school with like mono before.
Yeah.
Like should have been in the hospital, but gone to school.
My school district at least would give out rewards for perfect attendance, which I understand they're trying to encourage kids to not cut class. But actually what happens is the kids who want to cut class still cut class because they don't care. And then the kids who want, like, recognition and want to, like, go above and beyond will then go to school still sick because they want all the awards possible. And I'm not surprised that the school did not send her home. And I think we can chalk it up to the fact that she's 16 and has a better immune system. And so, like, she's still on 2 feet. Whereas Figgins, who's, like, in his 60s, straight up got fired from his job. But yeah, unfortunately, hopefully this changes because of COVID. Public schools don't actually care if you are sick. They just want to be able to report to the school board that they have a certain percentage of attendance.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, thank you so much for your message. I can't stand them. Up next, we have a voicemail from Simone.
Hi, besties. I'm Simone. My pronouns are she, her, and I have a little story to tell you. So, me and my sister, we really enjoy the podcast. Every Tuesday, we, like, watch the episode, and on Wednesday, we come home from school. I come home from my vocal lessons, and we can, like, talk about it, and we can, like, joke around about it. And we're usually, like, not scared to joke around about, like, the podcast and the jokes about the podcast, like, around our mom, because she knows we're weird like that. She's cool like that. So, like, we joke around about it, and she doesn't care, and she just, like, laughs if it's funny. So, of course, the joke this week was, baby, like your soup, baby, like your soup. And I guess my mom caught on to this, and we didn't know the consequences of joking about this around my mom, because today I'm sitting at dinner and eating like a normal person, and my mother looks at me, my sweet mother looks at me straight in the eyes and says, baby, like your soup? Oh my god! anyway, bye.
Let's hear from front of the podcast Simone's mom!
Baby, like your soup! I listened to this voicemail last night in the middle of the night, and I, you know, live in an apartment complex. I have roommates, and I was like, don't laugh. Don't laugh too hard. Don't laugh too hard. But I literally could not help it. That is so funny. Shout out to your mom. Gosh, happy to have you all listening. Jeez, I love that message.
Thank you, Simone. Baby, and like thank you, soup. Simone's mom.
Yeah, shout out. She's cool like that. Okay, next we have an email from Hannah.
Hi, Ian and Lena. My name is Hannah, pronouns she, her. A longtime listener, but first time emailer from Sydney, Australia. Cue the jingle.
International listener!
And unfortunately, baby is a Gleek. I'm 18 years old, going on 19, and I've been a fan of Glee since 2010 when I was about 8 years old. My parents would both watch it, and one day little me and my sister, 6 at the time, caught a glimpse of Kurt and Blaine kissing. This was my first exposure to Glee and the LGBTQ plus community. The following convo was just me asking, "Oh, does he like boys?" And my parents going, "Yep, he likes boys, that means he's gay." And that was the end of the conversation. After that, Mom and Dad marathon season 1 with us, and then we would all wait for the episodes with anticipation. Aww. My sister and I adored the music and the characters of Glee, but a whole lot flew completely over our heads. I've never watched Glee since, but every time you guys put out a new podcast episode, it's like I'm reliving the episode all over again. I can clearly remember the scenes and the plot. Now as an adult, I can clearly and critically look at it, which I adore doing. Now, in defense of my parents, a lot of people might frown on them for letting kids as young as me and my sis watch TV like Glee at such an impressionable age, and sure, there are pitfalls, but a lot of good came of it too. As much as Glee probably messed me up a little, it facilitated questions and conversations with my parents that I probably wouldn't have had otherwise about a huge range of subjects, from teen pregnancy to substance abuse to bigotry to religion to suicide. Now, I want to address the whole fever hallucination thing, because I am prolific for having hallucinations slash waking dreams when I am sick. They can get bad. Always about horror? Like, one notable time was when I was in the middle of talking to my mom when I suddenly fell into a hallucination involving aliens being trapped in my own body. It sounds silly, but it was the most terrifying moment of my life. Later, my mom told me that the entire time I had been babbling about someone coming, and that when she asked if I knew where I was, that the only thing I could say was Earth. Afterwards, I broke down and my parents had to check on me every 30 minutes because my fever was so high and they were worried about having to take me to the hospital. It's happened to me 3 separate times, so maybe it's not that you've never gotten a bad enough fever, but maybe some people are more predisposed to having vivid waking fever dreams. I don't know. On a lighter note, I love hearing you guys talk about Glee, about your lives. It almost feels like we're friends. Anyway, just want to sign off by telling you guys that this podcast really helped me get through my initial post-high school graduation slump and is really helping me get through my year in deferral. Lots of love and the best of wishes from your girl, Dionunda. And immediately Hannah's like, I'm never listening to this podcast again.
I'm never.
Deepest regards, Hannah.
I love this message. I come from a family that was like pretty lax about what they let us watch. Like, randomly, my favorite thing to watch when I was a kid was like the Austin Powers movies, which like I wouldn't even watch today as an adult. Like, that's just not my style. But my parents were always pretty open, especially about like letting me watch Glee at a young age. And they had like, I think, the same philosophy that like it facilitated a lot of like, like conversations between us. Like, my mom was always so open with me about anything I wanted to know and never made me feel like shameful for asking questions. So I like parents like this. So mm-hmm. I love that. Go Hannah's parents.
Heck yeah. Also nice to know that the trope of just absolute insane things happening when someone has a fever has some basis in reality.
Oh, yeah. Hannah, that is so scary.
That's terrifying.
That is really scary.
I am grateful I did not get that gene.
Yeah.
They said 3% Irish, 0% waking hallucinations when he has a fever.
Well, Hannah, my heart goes out to you for your waking hallucination. What?
You
got it.
You hey, hallucinogen. We are all rooting for you.
Whoa. Hallucination.
Like, oh, it's a nation called Hallusa. It's the hallucinations. Yes.
Not hallucinations.
Hannah, Lena's heart goes out to you and you're waking hallucinations.
My whole brain was like, it's working so hard. You guys can't see it at home, but there's steam coming out of my ears
right
now.
Her camera fogged up while she was doing that.
Yeah. I've got oil coming out of my nose. I run on a combust engine. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for your message. Our final message of the night, we have Riley.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name's Riley. I am from Boston originally, and I also have to shout out my best friend Dom because we listen to your podcast together. And I just have to say, I haven't had the greatest week, and I've been having a lot of trouble finding stuff that actually like brings me joy. But on the latest episode of the podcast, you two calling each other baby and yourselves baby over and over and over again made me laugh, and I'm still laughing, and it brought me to tears. You guys are so funny, and it really just it made my day, it made my week, and I wanted to tell you that I appreciate it so much. Thank you. Have a great week, you guys. Here's a kiss on your forehead. Mwah.
You hear that, Rachel? We are unfired. All of those, all of you baby haters out there, take it up with Riley and Dom. We did it just for Riley. Thank you for that message, Riley. That was very nice.
Very sweet. And I hope, gosh, 3 weeks, they'll do it to you. My heart goes out to you, all that. But thank you. I'm glad you could laugh for a minute. I'm sure. I love moments like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our mini-sode.
Hooray!
Hooray! Thanks for being here, you guys. Oh my gosh, my favorite day of the week. If you guys want to be featured on next week's mini-sode about, we recorded it last night. It's called Furt. We talked about Furt. If you guys have thoughts on that, you want to share with us, go ahead and you can send them to anchor.fm/recoveringgleek if you want to send us a voicemail, or you can send us an email at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Woo! All right. Woo! To bring this thing home, we're going to do the relative pitch game, baby.
Oh, man. I took a big L last week.
You want to go first this week? Do you want to sing first?
Sure.
The songs are... Forget You.
Yes.
Make 'em Laugh. Nowadays. Hot Honey Rag. And Umbrella/Singing in the Rain. Those are the four songs.
Okay.
Lena, you are going to do Forget You. But specifically Gwyneth Paltrow singing Forget You. So get her voice in your head.
I said, I'm sorry. I can't afford a Ferrari. But that don't mean I can't get you there. I guess he's an Xbox. I don't know if that's right. I feel like it might be low.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Sorry. So you're saying the sorry is an F sharp, is what you're saying.
I think that's right.
It is! Right? Oh my gosh, yes! There's a pitch!
The queen is back, you guys.
Miss Goop herself. All right.
All right, Ian. I want you to sing. I want you to sing Nowadays.
Oh my gosh, I was hoping.
I knew it. I'm pretty sure you were trying to subliminally message me that by opening this call going...
I mean, truly, I have just been singing it for the last 3 days. It gets stuck in my head all the time. But now I feel like I have to get it right. It's going to be embarrassing if I don't. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's Lea Michele and Gwyneth Paltrow. You can do this. You can like the life you're living. Ooh. You can live the life you like. That was weird, the tone-wise, but oh well. Okay, so... So I think it's... Which I feel like is too low, but we're going to find out. Oh my gosh! We both got it exactly! Oh, relative pitch!
I love that for us.
Wow. BFA. BFA, everyone. BFA.
BFA. Oh, my God.
All our BFA has amounted to is us doing the relative pitch game and nothing else.
Wow. Well, right. I love that for us. Going out on a win. Love you guys. Right. Hope you have a good rest of your week. We believe in you. Okay, bye. Here's a kiss on your forehead. Mwah, bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.